God done anything for you good this year already? God blessed you. God there for you. Amen. God lifted you out of something. God showed you a direction. God gave you a plan, gave you a purpose. Amen. You know, I think a lot of times, and I think we see, and I was talking to somebody about that. I don't remember who it was. We see all these young people, and they're coming into these situations, and they come to these situations, and they get in them, and they get bogged down in them. But if they never look, just like me and you, if we never look and say, you know what, I'm going to have to form me a plan. If not, we get bogged down in that thing. And when we come through that thing, if we don't have a plan and a purpose, we come out of that thing just like we went into it. But I try to tell all these young people, praise God, if you get a plan for your life and you decide, you know what, with the help of the Lord, and we have to put Him first, say, with the help of the Lord, I want the Lord to help me to achieve to this place in my life for His glory. And you know what God will begin to do? God will begin to help you to get there. Amen. By His grace and His mercy and through His tender care, He brings us along. He puts us in a place where He'd have us be. Just like Sister Angie, you'll be able, where we can be a help to someone. Amen. Someone along our way, praise God, can see Christ in us and realize that's hope of glory. And they'll come along, they'll want that same hope too. Praise the Lord. But you got to have a plan. You know, a lot of times I tell these folks it's fixing to go into jail or is in jail, fixing to go to prison. I've sat down with them and said, you know what? If you don't come up with a plan, you're going to come out and you're going to be just like you was when you went in. Amen. But if you'll sit down while you've got time to think about it, read your Bible and come up with a godly plan and ask God to be partaker in that with you in that plan, so God can manifest Himself to you and through you, praise God. He can bring you out a different person. If not, you know what they are? They go in there as a criminal, as a criminal element, and they come out as a criminal element. But if they go in when they get and they form a plan and they get a purpose for their life, they come out with a different attitude. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need to pray for these youngins. We need to pray for our young people. God to get a hold of their heart and, man, help them to form a plan. These people all around, these young people up and down this community we see all the time. And they're living paycheck to paycheck. They're running, they're doing the things of the world, and they're defeated. They're living defeated lives. Amen. There's no victory for them. There's no hope, no help. And there's never going to be till they come up with a plan and they make Christ the part of that plan. Amen. When they form a plan and they say, you know what, I'm going to make Christ a part of my plan and I'm going to form a plan and allow Him to help me to see that plan all the way through, then God begins to manifest Himself in that and He begins to help them to have a little something. But you see them, they just live paycheck to paycheck, barely scraping by. And a lot of them ain't even scraping by. A lot of them is far in debt. See, we've come to a time, and I'm not going to meddle. I'm not meddling. I'm preaching. We come to a time that we got plastic, and we throw plastic out there, and we just take easy money, credit. But you don't realize that someday, they come in a day, the bank's going to call in that debt. And they're going to say, we need to pay that back. And then they're going to be in despair because they're further out there than they've ever been with no way to get back. It's just a vicious cycle that's going on in this world today. It's a vicious cycle that's entangling our young people. And it's entangling a lot of our older people. Amen? I tell you, if you got credit cards that you owe on, praise God, you're getting your way in debt, you need to take them things. First thing you need to do is cut them up. Throw them away and take that smallest one you got and pay it off. I mean, just bound up on it, pay it off, and then the next one, pay it off till you get them paid. Bible says, owe no man. Amen. What? But in order to do that, though, we've got to have a plan and a purpose in our life. And we've got to sit down and we've got to figure out what we need in this life. And we ask that God, with you, as you as our great planner, as you as our great helper, Lord, I need you to help me to form a plan. Amen. I don't know why I'm going here, but somebody needs this tonight. Amen? Hey, we need to sit down with these young people. We need to teach how to teach them. We need to show them through our life, through an example, how to form a budget, how to live within that budget. Say, you know what? This is what God will help us to do. Amen? And God will begin to help. He'll show them, praise God. And we have to take responsibility for ourselves. Amen? We have to take responsibility for ourselves. It ain't mama's and daddy's responsibility to keep us up all our lives. Amen? Amen. It's not. God never intended that way. When it comes time, there's a certain place when mom and daddy begin to get some age on them, that son and daughter are supposed to step up and start helping them out. Amen? But it's mama's and daddy's responsibility to take care of yourself. Amen. We need to step up and say, take responsibility for me. We need to consider the ain't. We need to look ahead and we need to see what's out there and what we might need. Amen. And we need to pray that God would help us to meet that need. Amen. Why are you saying this, Pastor? Because I'm saying this thing's going to get ugly. Amen. You say, preacher, you keep saying that. I'm telling you, this economy is just a sham. Amen. It's just a smoke and mirrors. Amen. They propping it up by printing money, but you can't print with so much money. Our dollar's not worth nothing. We're coming to a point in this world, praise God, that one of these days somebody is going to call us on it. Yes, amen. We're going to have to give an account and we're going to have to pay up. And guess what? We don't have nothing to pay with. Amen. I was talking to my son-in-law the other day. Chrissy had brought the jars back that she had borrowed from Samantha for her wedding. It was ball jars that they used for the tea and stuff at the wedding. And I had them all in the car. They was jangling around. It was driving me crazy. So I went over there the other evening and on the way, and I took them over and I called Brian. I said, I'm on my way. I got to get rid of these things. But he come out. We got to talk and said, you know what? He said, I remember when Mama and Daddy used to grow a garden. And he said, it was so exciting as a kid to get out there and see that stuff grow. And he was just like, look, he said, you know what? I'd like to see that again. And I got to thinking in my heart. I said, you know what, God? We've let our people down. We haven't showed them how the right way to do things in this world. And Lord, I tell you, he spoke my heart. He said, because it starts with the spiritual things. It starts with having a godly home where mamas and daddies, praise God, love one another. They love our children and they love God supreme.
Amen.
Son. Amen. I said, boy, we need to get back to that. But we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to earth, praise God. I wonder how it would affect our lives. We got back to grubbing in the dirt, sowing a few seeds. Hey, I believe it might change our attitudes. It might change our aspect on these things called life. We start realizing that there's a great and almighty God, praise God, and He's the one that provides it all. Amen. Hey, listen, I think all this stuff don't grow at Ingles. Amen. Amen. We're living a day and time we think we can just go out and lay hands on. I'm telling you, there's coming a day. We won't be able to do that. We better be preparing for a day. And we better be preparing our children. Amen. You know what, preacher? I don't have enough room to grow a garden. Somebody here will let you borrow a little spot, scratch you out of place. Amen. You say, well, I don't know how to grow a garden. Well, get a hold of that somebody and say, hey, you help me. Say, let's grow one together and you show me. See, we need some of these good old saints, God, like Miss Eve, praise God, that can so good. Amen. That she could take us and show us how to do this stuff. Amen. So that we'll know. Now, I'm preaching tonight, praise God. Amen. We need to know how to do this, that we need to have to know how to be a self-sufficient, praise God. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. Al Gore said, you know, the climate guy said this thing, things going this way. This world's getting hotter and hotter and it's going to burn up. Well, it is, Prescott. He is right. Amen. Global warming. Amen. That's why we've got a subarctic front that's going to be here this week after Tuesday. It's going to come in from the, and it's going to be cold like it was a few weeks or a week ago. But he was that crazy thing was up in West Virginia years ago at a FFA meeting, and he said, he told them young people like Jesse, he said, don't you worry about growing your food. We'll let China and them other people grow the food, and we'll just concern ourselves with electronics and all the things and the gadgets of this world, and say, we'll let somebody else feed us. Amen. Well, see, that's what the mindset of the world is. They say, we'll let somebody else feed us. They'll let somebody else give us our spiritual need. We'll let somebody else meet our need. Praise God. But I tell you, there's a God of glory. He said, I still want to meet your need. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said, hey, can you imagine the Chinese feeding us? There's billions of them over there. I mean, they stacked up on each other like cordwood. I mean, all their sins just say, I mean, they just stacking up with the 15, 20 people living in one apartment. Amen. Can't even feed themselves. How are they going to feed us? Now, a while back they were sending some dog food over here, trying to help us feed old Fido. Amen. And Fido was dying. Amen. Fido was dying. Why? Because there was chemicals in there that Fido shouldn't eat. But they had them extra, so they just put them in there. Amen. You know, everything needs a little filler. Amen. Hey, what do you say? I'm saying it's time for us to wake up and take responsibility for ourselves and say, hey, you know what? There's a great big God of glory, and if we'll serve Him and we'll look to Him and we'll observe His laws and His commandments, praise God, He will see us through this thing. Amen. So I told Brian the other day, I said, son, I said, when it comes spring, I said, we're going to plow up that field. I told Brother Rex, I showed him yesterday where we had our garden this year. I said, I believe I'm going to plow that whole thing up this year. I'm going to plant it. Amen. I'm going to get Samantha and Brian over there, and probably little old Mia, she'll be there too. You say, well, preacher, that little old baby can't be in the garden. Why, I was. Amen. My mama would take me out there under a tree in that little old bassinet thing, and she'd sit me there and drape a blanket over me all day long. Amen. And when I'd get to whimpering and crying, she'd come change my Bible and my diaper, stick a bottle in my mouth, and go back to hoeing. Amen. You know what's wrong with it? Praise God, we got too soft in this world. Amen. We got too dependent on somebody else. And it's time that we started depending on ourselves and said, you know what? I'm going to take responsibility for me. I'm going to try to do something to encourage me. I'm going to try to do something that'll draw me closer to my Savior. Amen. Well, we're caught up in the day. This ain't what I was going to preach today, but it'll work. We're getting caught up in the day where we got this attitude that somebody else is going to do things for me. Somebody else is going to take care of me. Somebody else is going to feed me. Somebody else is going to help me to do this, and somebody else is going to do this for me. And so, but we brought it to the place, Brother Rex said, you know, sir said, well, you know what? Old Brother Bill, praise God, he's a good man of God, boy. He's solid as a rock. Amen. He loves the Lord. He's out there working. And Brother Bill, he can do my part for me. Huh? Brother Bill can't do your part for you. Amen. He's not, you know who can do your part? Is you. Amen. You're the only. Hey, God's give you special abilities, praise God, as a child of God that nobody else has. Amen. You know that maybe you might be the very one that could get a hold of my youngins or somebody else's youngins and say, you know what? God loves you and I love you too. Maybe take 2 or 3 minutes to spend with them and encourage them in the Lord. It might do, hey, it might do more than I could say. It might do more to them than to bring them to Christ than I could do in a month. Amen. You see, when I talk to my kids, they used to think, well, Daddy's preaching at us. Amen. See, a preacher's in a unique situation. Because if we try to tell our children what's right, you're automatically preaching to them. Amen. You know what I'm saying? If you're a child of God, if you've been faithful to the Lord, if you try to tell them the truth according to what God says, you're preaching to them. Well, they need the gospel. But sometimes if I can't get to them, praise God, somebody else, old brother Mike, be able to come along beside them, and then he's about to say, you know what? What your old daddy's been telling you, boy, it's good stuff. And boy, I'm really enjoying it. It's been a help in my heart. It brought me closer to God. He gave me a relationship with my Heavenly Father. It's empowered me from the throne of grace. And boy, I tell you, you ought to listen to Him. Amen. And that little old youngin might say, you know what? I never thought about it this way. Let me tell you a story. There's a fella several years ago. I hadn't been preaching here but a little while. I got to know him. I got to visit him at the hospital the first time I ever met him. He looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Yeah. He said he could have cared less if I was there or not. I mean, he gave me that old drop dead look. Amen. A little while later, time rocked on, and I seen him again in the same hospital. But I went up there and I got to talking to him. I went in, I just showed him the love of God. You know what? He invited me. He began to talk to him, began to encourage him. And praise God, his attitude was a little bit different. And I got to communicating with him, and it rocked time, rocked on. It come time, and he got pretty bad off. I didn't know how long he's going to be around. I got up there in the house one night, and he got to talking to me. And he said, "You know what, preacher?" He said, "I'm glad you come by." He said, "Just some things that I don't understand. I wish my old daddy used to preach the word. He used to give me the gospel." And I sat there, but I never paid no attention. I looked out the window and twiddled my thumb. I went to God. I paid attention to what daddy said. But he said, "I didn't pay attention." I said, "Well, son, what would you like to know?" We sat there from about 8 o'clock one evening till right at midnight, and we went from Genesis to Revelation. And as he began to ask the question, God, the Holy Spirit began to give us the answers in the Word of God, and we flipped through that blessed old Bible, and we give him the answers to his questions. Amen. Praise God, it wasn't but just a few days. Good Lord called him on home. Took him on out of here. Why? But he's... he had his questions answered.
Amen.
Glory to God. That man was Geraldine's brother. Amen. It was her brother. He was got an opportunity. Amen. Why? To do what? Just to show him the love of God. A little compassion. Say, "You know what? Jesus loves you." Amen. Jesus loves you. And he said, "I didn't have to tell him. I did too. I just tried to show him just a little. And I cared for him." You say, "Well, preacher, they, Geraldine's a godly lady." I mean, since his daddy was a preacher, his mother was a preacher's wife, why couldn't they get to him? Because, hey, listen, there was a situation in his life, something in his mind, praise God, would help him from getting in. But God sent a little old stumbling preacher by to say, "You know what? I love you." Amen. "I love you, you know, and God loves you." He said, "I know that, preacher." So I've known that for a long time. Amen. Because what took place? Just a little bit of compassion. Show somebody that you care. Amen. See, that was my part. Amen. But you've got the same part. If we take responsibility for ourselves, say, "You know what? I want to be one of those that can get close to somebody." You know what they tell us? When I was in Bible college, a missionary come in. He was talking to us. I told you about the missionary from Australia. A different missionary was talking to us, and he said, when you go to the field, I was talking to him by myself. It was not during a class. And he said, "Preacher, if you ever go to the mission field," he said, "what you got to do," he said, "you got to go in and show them people that you love them." He said, "You can't go into them, just preach them and browbeat them and tell them that they're just all going to hell." He said, "But you go in and you show them that you..." He said, what I have to do?" He said, "Over where I'm at," he said, "I have to go in and I have to take, and he was a fella that was in Brazil. And he said, "I have to go into the community and I try to find me a family." And he said, "I try to befriend that family. I try to show them the love of God." Amen. "Until I can win their confidence." He said, "Once I win their confidence," he said, I begin to tell them about the Lord Jesus. He said, "I pray when we eat and I tell them how Lord Jesus Christ, how what he's done in my heart. And what he wants to do for them." And he said, "I befriend that family. I take them into my confidence. I begin to love them. Show them the love of Christ." And he said, "And before you know it," praise God, they're demonstrating it back. And he said, "Before you know it, Christ has won that soul." He said, "Then I begin to build a relationship with maybe their family or someone they know." And he said, "We go from one relationship to one relationship. Winning them for Christ. Showing them. That's how it's done. One soul at a time. Amen. One soul at a time is how we win folks to Christ. How we give them that they need to be children of God. One person at a time. Hey, I'd like to see it like the day of Pentecost. I'd like to see 3,000 saved at once. Praise the Lord. But you know what you see when you see that? Most of the time you see a bunch of wildfire. Amen. You know, I like to hear these stories where 50 and 60, 60, 70, 80 is getting saved. But I wonder if they're getting saved and they're getting under the Word of God and somebody's coming alongside them and bringing them along for Christ. Amen. There's a difference in getting saying that you get saved and becoming a child of God. Amen. Amen. There's a big difference. A lot of people say they get saved, and Brother Rex, in 2 weeks you couldn't find them at church. You couldn't find them near the church door with a search warrant. They go back out in the world and you never hear from them again. Amen. But praise God, I like it when we come alongside somebody and we can nurture them in the Lord and we can tell them to show them the love of Christ. Show them His Word. Show them what He wants to do for them. How He can help them in this journey called life. It's a rough place. This world's a rough place. I was going to tell you tonight why, but we won't go. We'll do that Wednesday night. But I'm telling you tonight, praise God, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. Amen. The day and hour we live. What happens to us, what becomes of us, is nobody's fault but our own. Amen? It ain't mama's fault. It ain't daddy's fault. What you become, what we become, praise God, is our own fault. Because we are, we got to be responsible. I've got to be responsible for me. Amen? Brother Bill's got to be responsible for Brother Bill. And try to help others along as we can. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what God's called us to do. And He'll help us to do that if we'll let Him tonight. And He wants to help us. But we got to want to let Him. Amen. Why? Because there's so many out here in the world that's lost and undone. And we've heard testimonies here. We've heard testimonies all through this church this evening about those that's lost and undone out there in the world that don't know no better. Amen. The Bible says that we should love old sinners. We don't have to like what they do. Amen. We hate the sin that they do. But we ought to love that old sinner. We got to show them the love of Christ. That they might be one. That they might come to a place where they realize, you know what? They's somebody. They's a great big God of glory that loves me enough to send the best He had to die for me on the cross of Calvary. And that was Christ Jesus, the Savior. That they might come and fall on their knees for a holy God and be saved before it's eternally too late. But it's our responsibility. Take responsibility for ourselves. Amen? To take responsibility for ourselves in the day and hour that we live. And you know what? Instead of just saying, you know, they're responsible. They did it. You know what they do? They say, well, it's because of this or because of that that they done that. No, it's because that we're not holding them responsible. We're not holding them accountable for what they do. It probably started a long time ago back in the house. Amen. When mom and daddy never held them accountable for anything they did. They said, you know what? Little John, he's not that bad. He's just a little boy. You know, he gets into things. John, this little boy, he gets into things. Huh? Amen. But we have to hold them accountable when they're little fellas like us. And when we say, you know what? That's wrong. Amen. 2 and 3 years old. Amen. That's wrong, no means no. Amen. You don't do that. And they go to do it. I told you. All right. You sit right there. Don't move. Amen. Because no means no. It's not acceptable. Amen. But we've come to a place, well, you know, poor little John, he's a good boy. He's just rambunctious. Yeah. Huh? Whose fault is it though? Whose fault is it when they're like, it's our fault. Because we've brought them up to be to not respect any authority. Amen. And to not take authority for themselves. Amen. Not take responsibility for themselves. Amen. Yeah, that kills me. When people say, no, I'm not gonna tell you. One. Two, three. You heard me say three. You're just giving them different. You're giving how many chances you're gonna give them at rebellion before you take care of the situation? Amen. No means no. If you start that out when they're one or two, when they start first toddling around or when they start rebellion, kicking at you when you try to change their diaper, You know what that is? That's rebellion. Amen. Now, I've already preached this during the parenting class. It's rebellion. And when they rebel against you, if you nip that in the bud right quick, they quit rebelling. You teach them to say, you know, when you say, you know what, you need to go clean your room. What do, Blake? You go clean your room.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, depending on who told you to do it, mom or daddy. Amen. That's respect. That's authority. That's listening to authority. That's the way it's supposed to be. You say, well, preacher, does it really matter? You know why? When you get up older and they go out into school and you have trouble with them all through school, and they go to college and you have trouble in school, and then they go out in the workforce and they get there on the job. And I've worked people. Brother David's worked people. Brother Bill's worked people. You get them on the job. And you say, go over here. Now, this is what I want you to do. Now, listen carefully. But Chris, I want you to go over there, and this is what I want you, and this is how I want you to do it. All right, now you got that? Oh, yeah, boss, got that. And about 10 minutes later, you go over and check on them. They're not even in the area you told them to be in. They're not doing what you ask them to do. And they're not doing it in the way you ask them to do it. Where did that come from? No, Johnny. Listen to me, Johnny. That's where it come from. It started out as early age in rebellion. And they've learned to get by with it all through these years. But see, we come down to lay in the hour we live and we rebel against God every day. And we've learned to get by with it. We think, oh boy, we're getting by with that. We're getting by with rebellion against God. God says, you know what? What you're doing ain't right. And you know what? We go ahead and we do it. Well, and hey, way over here, nobody will ever see me. Oh, them folks in church don't even know I'm doing this. They probably don't. But God does. Amen. We don't get by with nothing. When we rebel against God, praise God, we're rebelling in the face of God. And God will not put up with that long. He'll call us. Amen. Especially if you're a child of God. He'll call you on it before long. Amen. You'll have to give an account. So it's better just when the Lord says, you know how mommy should, Brother James, yeah, I know Jeff and Susie said they'd be at church years ago and said, Brother James, go, and said, son, they knew it. Said, it's on when we got to the house. Said, Daddy done snapped his fingers. Said, hey, it's going to be on at the house. Why? Because they said that, he told him, he said, youngins, listen, I love you, but the house of God is a place where we reverence God. Amen? And when I tell you, sit, you need to sit down and be quiet. You need to pay attention to the preacher. You need to pay attention to the teachers. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen? And then when they didn't do that, when they didn't take responsibility for themselves, when they got home, Daddy had to take responsibility for them. Amen? Amen? You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in that beating your children. Well, you're going to have children that's rotten. Because the Bible says you spare the rod and you spoil the child. How are they going to learn to respect? God whips us. Amen? He whips me about every day. Getting my attention. Showing me, you know what you did, that ain't right. Amen. Oh, me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what? When we line up with God, and we say, Lord, you know, I want you to be my help. I want you to guide me and lead me and show me how to do this thing right. That I want to be a Christian. I want to be as Christ-like as I can. And Lord, I want you to help me. You know what you're doing? You're in those swimming waters. You're being led by the Spirit. Praise God. You're out there where God can help you in this journey called life. That He can encourage you in the way that you need to go. Praise the Lord.